Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
I'm pretty confident talking into a mic. Hey, I'm doing it right now. But home projects, I second guess everything. Is that noise normal? Is that water damage? Who do I even call? That's where Thumbtack comes in. Just upload a photo or voice note, and it uses AI-powered search to match you with the right top-rated local pro. So instead of guessing, you get clarity and can hire with confidence. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode here on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed. I'm Stephen Gillespie, and I have a very special player interview today. We have probably you've seen him. If you're looking at like counting stats and things of that nature within the nation, you see this gentleman's name all over all these different the statistical profiles and things like that. Stands at about 6'7", 220 pounds. He's out of Kent, Washington. He's a junior for the Pepperdine Waves. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome my very special guest, Michael Ajayi. Michael, did I get the last name pronunciation right there?
Yeah, perfect, man. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, man. Just getting ready to play Colorado on Sunday. So just practicing every day, you know, getting shots up. That's about it.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's going to be a fun game. I can't wait to watch that. Colorado's got some hoopers on that squad, so it's going to be a fun matchup for you for sure. Michael, I talked to you a little bit about this before we started recording. I'll let you know, usually I'm pretty well prepared for these interviews because I like to take my time, scour the internet, I scour for interviews, things of that nature. But there is just not much information out there for you, man. And based on how you're performing this year, you would figure that there would at least be something on you from like your high school days, things like that. There's a little bit of JUCO information for you, but there's just not much out there. So I think this would be like the perfect opportunity, not only for the audience who consists of, you know, people all around the basketball community, but even for myself, just to learn more about you. So, Michael, if you can start a little bit for us, like, can you talk to me about playing at Kentwood High School, like what it was like for you, you know, maybe your starting height, the positions you played, things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, I went to Kentwood High School. I was in Covington, Washington. You know, my sisters went there, and, you know, I wanted to go there too. But going to my freshman year, you know, yeah, I was starting at 5'7", you know. Now, I was really small, short, skinny. So I knew I wasn't going to make, you know, the varsity team. So I was playing C team that year. I was actually playing the two guard, the point guard, shooting guard position. So, you know, just practicing, you know, I still love the game. I was, you know, in there practicing with my guys. And then it was C team didn't really go too well. You know, we didn't really win as much, but, you know, I was going to sophomore year with high hopes, trying to make the JV team or the varsity team. So, you know, sophomore year comes around. I grew to like 5'10", not that much of a, you know, difference. Got cut from my varsity team. Made JV though, you know, so.
There you go.
Yeah, and then, you know, I was hooping there for a little bit, you know, doing good. Going to my junior year, you know, I was really having high hopes there too, making the varsity team, but I got cut again from there. I was still hooping. I grew to like 6'2" my junior year. My junior year, 6'2" to 6'3". I was trying to grind for that varsity spot, you know? So
yeah,
keep working. Got to my junior year. I made the summer league team for, you know, Kentwood High School. I made the summer league team for the varsity squad. I thought I was going to, you know, make it. But the season came around and they chose a high school football quarterback for my position. And I was like devastated. It was either going to be me or him to make the varsity spot, but they chose him over me. And I was kind of shocked because I've been in the program for a while and I was going to make it. But, when I got cut, I instantly was about to cry. I went to my dad crying a little bit, asking him if I wanted, can I still play the game, because that really hurt. Because, sure. everyone makes fun of you because you're going to be a JV on junior. So it's like, that's so embarrassing. But, a couple days went by, cried a little bit in my room, sucked it up. I was like, man, I still love the game, man. I'm just keep grinding, keep grinding for that varsity spot. Going to my summer, my senior year, I grew to like 6'5". And you can't get cut when you're 6'5".
Too big.
So I went in there. Everyone was like, "Oh my God, Mike, you got so tall, you got so big." I was like, "Yeah," but they didn't know I got some skill with it too. So senior year, I tried out. Obviously made varsity. Averaged around like 11 points, 8 rebounds. But no one really knew me, I was really under the radar. That COVID year really helped me. I feel like, I was grinding every day, like after the junior year of my season, grinding every day. My dad built a court right next to his house. And I told him, "Dad, I really want to be great at this, at basketball. So I was playing every day in the hot summer, hot sun, just getting burnt out there." But
there you go.
Yeah, senior year came through, and I didn't have no offers from anywhere, not even JUCO offers, but only one, Pierce College. And shout out to Brian, shout out to Coach Hart, Coach Wright. They all believed in me, in my abilities, So, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, man. I mean, again, looking for any sort of information for you, the only thing that I found was JUCO, and you brought up Pierce College in the state of Washington where you grew up, right? Can you speak a little bit to the level of competition that players compete against in the JUCO? Because sometimes I feel like because it's not the NCAA Division I basketball, it's easily dismissed, but there is no shortage of pro players who have spent a little bit of time in the JUCO. So can you talk to me about what it's like playing JUCO basketball?
Well, yeah, everyone thinks like JUCO is like the bad route to go to. I feel like JUCO gives you a real good opportunity to get better in your game. So yeah, the players there, they're really good. I mean, they're the best at their high schools. It's the same thing, in D1 level, but a little bit shorter, a little bit not as fast, I would say, but they're all can hoop. You'd be surprised. You go to that gym, there's someone averaging 20 points. And I was just going against them every day, double teams, triple teams. So it's kind of, and you scout the same way as as you're playing D1 level, at the JUCO level, just not more athletic guys, what I'm saying? But it's still a high level, you still got to compete. You still got to go out there, work hard. You can't just, jog through emotions. You still got to just put the work in and, you'll see the results.
With Squarespace, you can do more than just build a website. You can build a business. Squarespace helps restaurants and hotels showcase signature offerings and experiences. And with Squarespace, consultants and photographers can create invoices to collect well-earned payments. You can even send email newsletters to keep in touch with your loyal customers. Done. So grow your business at squarespace.com. Get started with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your website or domain.
For sure. So, I'm looking at your stats, right, from your last season at Pierce College. You averaged over 22 points per game, almost 13 rebounds, 3 assists. Your shooting splits were like 48% from the floor overall, 36% from deep, 74% from the line. You played more than 34 minutes per game. Looking back, you scored in single digits only three times, and in two of those three games, your team lost. So that just speaks to the level of impact that you had, right? You kind of spoke to it a little bit, but your time at Pierce seemed to kind of prep you for where you were ready to come into the NCAA and be the player that you're at now. Because, I mean, your numbers are actually pretty similar in D1 basketball for Pepperdine compared to what they were at Pierce. So it just seemed like it was like the perfect environment for you to kind of cultivate your game.
Right. Yeah. You know, I want to give thanks to Coach Hart, my trainer. I mean, I just have the same passion and motor when I came into the D1 level. Just try to get as much rebounds as possible. You know, the points, my coach said, if you get a lot of rebounds, you know, the points is going to come. You know what I mean? So I wasn't really worried about getting, like, buckets or anything. I was just trying to get, like, defense and rebounding. And one thing about the JUCO level, you get a lot of reps, like a lot of reps. So you can mess up as much as you can and, you know, get better. That's just, you know, those 2 years just prepped me to, focus on the little things, you know, defending, getting rebounds, blocking shots, you know, going, getting to my spots, and then, you know, passing to your teammates for the wide open shots. So you get a lot of reps and a lot of knowledge about the game as you, you know, play.
And I think people sometimes underestimate the value of getting those reps. Sometimes I think players want to go to D1 so bad just because that it's the prestige of the school. But, you know, you're getting recruited with, you know, 14 other guys, and you're not guaranteed to get playing time even in follow-on seasons. So the reps that you're getting are in practice, right, against your own teammates. But for someone like you, Michael, and JUCO, you're going up against the best that league had to offer, and you were getting those much-needed repetitions, and obviously it's translated very well now. How did your program respond to you making the jump to Pepperdine?
They always believed in me and my abilities. You know, at first, they were probably like, they wanted to see what I could do, you know, like, if it can really translate to the Division I level. And, you know, at first, you know, I came in, you know, just dribbling a little bit too much. That was kind of my, you know, what I needed to work on. But, you know, as the day, you know, goes on, you know, I started, you know, making less dribbles, making smarter passes. And also in the weight room, I was really disciplined in the weight room and trying to get better in the weight room as much as possible, because, you know, at the D1 level, people were strong and athletic. So I wanted to get my athleticism up and just my speed, you know. But, you know, the coaches always believed in me. You know, shout out to Isaiah Thomas. He's the one who actually referred me to Coach Romar for him to pick me up. So Coach Romar didn't even know who I was even before, you know, Isaiah Thomas. So just shout out to him for that. So, yeah.
Yeah, so speaking of Isaiah Thomas, I saw people like him, people like your teammate Houston Millett, they refer to you as Marathon. Can you talk to me a little bit about where that nickname comes from?
Well, yeah, I mean, before I went to Pepperdine, it was Mr. Everything, because, you know, I was okay. Like, I do everything on the stat sheet. But when I got to Pepperdine, you know, they seen my work ethic, you know, my mindset. You know, I wasn't really playing. So, like, we have this conditioning test called the mile. You know, you have to run four laps around the track. And then, you know, I ran it, and they were like, this guy's, like, going really fast, like he's going through it, like. And then they're just saying Marathon, that's Marathon Mike. And
there you go.
I got a 5:07 mile time, and I was like first out of all my teammates. And so they were just like, this guy keeps pushing, he never gives up. So that's where I get the Marathon. And, you know, Nipsey Hussle, a really good artist, he's really about the Marathon. The Marathon continues, you know, always don't quit, you know. Don't give up, keep working. And yeah, so that's where I got it from.
I love that. I love that, man. It just kind of speaks to the character you have, kind of coupled along with how talented you are as a basketball player. All right, so let's talk about what you're doing at Pepperdine right now. You're averaging close to 19 points per game, shooting over 50% from the floor. You're shooting 50% from deep as well. How do you go about kind of picking the shots that you take? Because it seems like you can kind of, you're a little bit of like a multi-level scorer, right? So what's your mentality like? What are you looking at within the defense to let you know that the shot might be available to you?
So I always want to be aggressive. You know, I don't want to settle for shots except my mid-range. You know, if I get to my mid-range, it's a done deal, I feel like. But
yeah,
I always want to attack the basket. I want to shoot the open three, you know. I want to shoot I want to get the greatest shot I can get, you know, out of the offense. I don't want to settle for a three where, you know, it's a 3-point, it's a 3-point, you get 3 points out of it, but, you know, what's the percentage? But, yeah, I also want to find my teammates too, you know, so I just drive, you know, get the defense on me, kick it to my teammates for like a wide open three. So, yeah, you know, I get to my spots, you know, around the mid-range area and the high post area and, you know, go to work. Yeah, basically, you know, even when I get to my three, you know, I have a set shot, so it's a little slow to, you know, release, but when I get enough time and space to shoot it, you know, it goes in. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, and you talked about your passing a little bit too, and I feel like you're obviously asked to do a lot of scoring. I mean, you're a top 10 scorer in all of college basketball this year, right? Yeah. So that's obviously what the team is asking of you. Do you feel like you are able to facilitate a little bit more, like if the situation kind of would dictate?
Yeah, I'm always looking to, you know, find an open dude. You know, one of my assistant coaches, always in my ear to make the that one more pass, you know, in the corner.
Okay.
I'm always, you know, listening to him, you know, taking notes. As the season goes on, I know there's probably going to be some more double teams coming. So obviously, you know, I'm gonna hit the open guy and, you know, get my teammates going before me. So that's what I like.
Okay, that's fair. If I may, Michael, so I floated your name around to a lot of people who I respect in the scouting community, and a lot of people speak glowingly of your offense, but, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with a website like Bartorvik, but one thing that is like constantly is like, Michael is really, really good. I just wish that he would kind of improve this one area, and that's like your free throw rate attempt, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something that's being communicated to you throughout the season or whatever, but do you feel like that's just like your style of play? Do you feel like it's just kind of early in the season? How do you go about like potentially even looking to draw contact to get to the free throw line? Like, what's your thought process on that?
Well, I've been looking at that. Like, why haven't I got to the free throw line as much as I want? Because in JUCO, I was the leading guy to get to the free throw line. I was like,
absolutely.
Am I not getting much, you know, getting to the line? But I feel like, you know, I fight through contact a lot. You know, I don't really flop. You know, I just, you know, thug through the contact. I could probably, you know, attack my guy more, I feel like. Just, you know, keep going through the contact and then going through him. But, yeah, I think it's still early in the season. There's still a lot of more games to happen. So I'm not really worried about that. You know.
I'm not either. Like, I've been floating your name out a lot. I love your style of play, man. I think that you're doing a tremendous job this year. And talking a lot about your offense, you mentioned the rebounding earlier. I mean, you're at the top of the rebounding ranks too. So not only are you a talented scorer, you attack the ball whenever it's up as well. Why do you think rebounding comes so easy to you? Like, it looks like you have a great read for angles of when the ball is coming off the rim. Right. You have great anticipation. Like, why are you so good at rebounding, Michael?
I think it stems from the JUCO level. One of my coaches, Coach Wright, you know, he would always like praise, you know, getting rebounds. Like, you know, and, you know, at first I was like, man, you know, they shoot bad shots, and I don't want to get the rebound. I don't want to waste my energy. But Like, when you, like, actually try to crash every single time, there's so many opportunities to affect the game, impact the game, on both ends of the floor, offensive and defensively rebounding. So, you know, I got a lot of reps just trying to rebound the ball as much as I can. And I find it like I get really happy, you know, when I get rebounds. It's like almost like scoring the ball, you know, because yeah. I get a chance to, you know, get an opportunity to get a bucket for my team or to dish it out to my my guards and they can get a bucket. So, you know, it's just, you know, I just fell in love with rebounding, you know. That's about it.
Okay, I love that. Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought it up because it looks like your rebounding is just like, you know what you're going to do next, whether you're going to put it back up immediately, kick it back out to an open man, or on the defensive rebound, right? You're pushing the break. You want to push that action. So I love to see that from you. So let me talk to you a little bit about the other side of the ball, Michael. Right now, Synergy grades you out in the 64th percentile defensively. You're averaging about a steal and a half per game. That steal rate is up to 2.5 and a block rate of 1.1, right? I don't think that you're necessarily looking to put up numbers, like just going out there defensively and looking to be like overly aggressive, because it looks like you play well within the confines of the team scheme on defense. But what are you looking to do on defense? Like when you're lined up, what's your man-to-man mentality like on defense?
Man-to-man, to stop my man. Like, I don't want him to score on me. Like, I feel like someone scoring on you is just like, ah, man, he got one on me. I hate that feeling when someone scores on me. So I just try to, like, be as solid as possible, be in the gaps as much as possible. You know, just, you know, having the, you know, mama mentality of just, you know, being your best at both ends of the floor. You know, I don't want it to be a good offensive player. I also want to be a good defensively player too. So just looking for those steals and those blocks really, you know, will really affect the team and the game in a positive way. So I just want to, you know, do that for my team.
Okay. I love that. So Michael, I'm going to ask you one more basketball kind of like NBA related question. Then we'll have a little bit of fun to close out the interview here. All right. So I believe your ultimate long-term goal, based on everything that I'm hearing about you today and what I'm seeing on the floor, like, ultimate goal is the NBA. Would I be correct in assuming that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the dream. I really want to make the NBA. That's the lifetime dream, for real. Yeah.
There you go. So if an NBA team is looking at Michael Ajayi and they're wanting to invest draft capital in them, what could they expect to get out of you?
Just a guy that works really hard. And one thing I really, you know, proud of myself is being coachable. You know, I'm really a team guy, you know, and I also, like, I listen to, like, the coach says anything, I will listen to him. You know, I do the best my abilities to, you know, do my job in my role. They're gonna get a good guy in general. A funny guy. Yeah, just someone that I want to work hard every day, you know, because, you know, I really didn't, you know, come from a lot in high school. So it's just, it gave me a chip on my shoulder, and just every day I just want to, you know, get to it. So they're going to get a great guy in general.
Yeah. I mean, in the short time of getting to speak to you, man, like, that definitely oozes out in the conversation that we're having. I would definitely back that notion. All right, so Mike, let's have a little bit of fun. What was your favorite team growing up?
Lakers. Kobe Bryant, yeah, love him.
What was it about Kobe that stood out to you? Because I feel like there's Kobe fans, and then there were people who couldn't stand Kobe Bryant. So why did you fall on the fandom side of Kobe Bryant?
I just love how his game and, like, his work ethic. You know, every day, you know. Even before games, I go on YouTube and search up Kobe mentality, you know, highlights and, you know, motivational videos, and just, it just pumps me up the way he talks, just like how he you know, works on his game, and every day he's just trying to get better in his mentality. I just love it, you know. Even before, when I was a kid, you know, my dad, he loved him too, so he passed the Kobe fan onto me. So I just wanted, you know, just to see what his game was like. And after that first game I watched him, I just fell in love with him.
Okay. Who got you into basketball?
I say my dad. I love my dad. He got, like, even when I was born, he put a basketball in my hands. I took basketball seriously when I was, like, going to high school, but he just put the basketball in my hands. You know, we go to the park a lot, work on my game. So it's just, my dad always loved basketball. When he came to America from Nigeria, he wanted me to play basketball. So
that's awesome stuff, man. All right, so what's your favorite basketball shoe to wear?
I would say Kobe's. You know,
okay.
Yep, they're probably the best basketball shoe ever. Or the GT Cuts or the Paul Georges and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What's your favorite food to eat?
Favorite food? I'll say like any type of like rice, like jollof rice and like fried rice.
Some rice, yeah.
Just some good like rice with chicken or something like that. Or like pasta, like Alfredo. I like that.
Ooh. Yeah, big pasta fan. We make a lot of pasta here at home. And my wife the other day, we made some beef stew with some rice in it. It was super good. Good stuff. All right. Yeah, for real. Anytime. All right. Sure. Let me ask you this. When you're not playing basketball, what do you like to do?
I like to hang out with my friends. Go see a movie, you know, chill. I really don't really go outside, so I just be chilling in my room, you know, play the game with my friends, watch football, basketball, and yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so you go to the movies. Any movies that you've seen lately that you really liked?
Well, I have not been to the movies in a while, I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Basketball taking up all my time, but one movie I would want to watch is like The Hunger Games, the new Hunger Games.
Okay.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it. My wife is a big Hunger Games fan. She's like read all the books and stuff like that. I think she gave the new book an endorsement. So we're probably going to see the movie sometime soon.
Yeah, man, That's gonna be good.
For sure. All right, Michael. Well, I just want to thank you for your time. I know that you got a lot going on. You're getting ready to go and beat Colorado, so that's going to be awesome. So before I let you out of here, I just want to give you an opportunity to share anything that you have going on, any final comments that you might want to put out, anything like that.
I just want to say thank you for letting me be on your platform. And for everyone who's watching, just know you're going to see Michael Ajayi like very soon. You'll know about me a little bit soon. So just, keep that in mind.
For sure, and I'll go ahead and plug the show here in a second, but they could fully expect a feature piece centered around you, Michael, featuring, some snippets from our interview today. But I would just want to thank you so much for your time. I know that you're very busy. Anytime I get to interact with, a great guy who's also a really good basketball player, it really motivates me to continue doing what I'm doing. So I just want to thank you so much for your time. But for everybody watching, listening, thank you so much for doing so. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, rate, and review. Be sure to go to NoCeilingsNBA.com for all of our year-round draft coverage. Please consider subscribing to No Ceilings Plus. We got a few articles out there. Our guy Tyler Rucker just put out a scouting notebook piece. So please consider doing that. But Michael, again, thank you so much for your time, man. And we'll be looking forward to watching you go up and do your thing against Colorado.
Yeah, thank you, man. Really appreciate your time, for real.
Absolutely. All right. Much love, everybody.